The daf recently in Gittin and daf Lamed Amud Aleph introduced us to a fascinating sugya, which you could call the sugya of Makari Kahuna. We have to pause before beginning, actually, to discuss what you could call the sugya. That's a little bit of a question. One might assume that it's the sugya of Makire Kahuna. It appears differently in different places. Sometimes it appears with a yud there, giving one the impression it's the sugya of Makire Kahuna. Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, in his Ha'aros to Maseches Bava Basra, notes that the pronunciation probably should be Makare Kahuna. There's a pasuk in Malachim Beis, in Parakeet Beis, pasuk Vav, where you find the phrase Yichu Lahem Kohanim Ish Me'es Makaro. And therefore, it sounds like it probably should be Makari Kahuna. So we'll work with that pronunciation, as Rabbi Yaakov Emdin indicates. And the idea is, it refers to a Kohen with which one has a particular relationship and is likely, therefore, to give his Matnas Kahuna. So here the Mishnah talks about somebody has lent money to a Kohen, and therefore he wants to pay himself back from the matanos that he has yet to give him. So because he can assume that he's going to give the matanos to that specific Kohen, so then perhaps he can pay himself back from these matanos, assuming that they're going to that specific Kohen. So how can he do that? Isn't it a assumption that it can go to any Kohen, not necessarily to that Kohen specifically? So says the Gemara, because of this concept of Makari Kahuna, if there is this established Kesher, this established relationship with that specific Kohen, so then we can assume that that's the Kohen who's going to get it, the Kohen who owes him money, and therefore we can take the debt from that Kohen as if it's already his property. And this shows up in a few other Gemaras as well. There's a Gemara in Maseches Chulin and Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says that if there is a Kohen who wants to help out a Talmud Chacham who needs some extra parnasa, he can be mezakeh him some of the matnas kahuna that he hasn't yet received. And how is that the case? If he doesn't know that he's necessarily going to get them, any Kohen could receive these matanos. So says the Gemara, because of Makare Kahuna, because maybe he has people who have a special relationship with him and are going to give him the matanos, and therefore he can rely on them and transfer those matanos to the Sani. And the Gemara also talks about in Bava Basra, Adaf Kuf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, that a Bechor is going to receive Pishnayim in Matnas Kahuna as well, in the Zroa, Lechayayim, and Keva of his father's matanos. And this is true even if they haven't been received yet. And even though normally the rule is that a Bechor only gets Pishnayim in that which is muchzak, and not in that which is roy, and not in that which is yet to come. But, says the Gemara, here we have again the principle of Makari Kahuna, that if there is such an established relationship, we can treat it as if it's already been received. So how does all this work? How do we have this principle of Makari Kahuna? So we have a few different explanations in the Rishonim, and it's quite a fascinating concept. So Rashi gives us a little bit of an explanation here in Gittin. Rashi has the phrase here that because of the known relationship that exists, so all the other Kohanim are Mesiach Das. They give up hope that they're going to receive anything. That's one perspective. While Tosfos in Bava Basra has a different understanding, and Tosfos points to a Gemara in Bava Metzia and Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph, where there is a concept of a Motana Mu'etes, that if somebody tells someone else that they're going to give them a small Matana, where the expectation is then that it's likely to happen if it's a larger Matana, so then people might understand that there's more of a complicated situation, and maybe it's not so guaranteed that it's going to happen, but a smaller matana people are more likely to rely on, so then they have to come through with it. The person who said it's going to happen, then they have to actually give it. And even though if they were to be chozer, if they were to change their minds, then that would be the case, it would be considered revoked. But there is an obligation to come through with it. She'erus Yisrael yasu avla. So then the recipient relies on it. So Tosis understands that because of that expectation, so on some level, it's as if it's already received. They can rely on it as if they've already gotten it, and maybe that's where this din of Makari Kahuna comes from. And there's a third sheet as well, the Rashbam over there, where it sounds like the way the Rashbam understands it, that it's not really a different din, that he has a language that Anshe Ha'ir, Krovav, Umakirav, Shal Kohen Zeh, then Mzakin Loz Chuz Gomer, Mumatanos, Behemosehen, Miyad, Kishanishchetu, Kodim, Shehufrish, Menabahema. So it sounds like what he understands that maybe it's not really a new din, that basically he's just Mazakeh to the Kohen, the Matanos, right away. So you still have to understand how that happens, but that maybe it's not a separate din, it's just the consequence of the fact that there is this ongoing relationship. There's also maybe a fourth possibility. It could be that this is Din Drabana, and that's how it sounds like from the Ritva in his comments to Gittin, that this is a Tarkana. It's a Tarkana Drabanan. And if that's the case, so we have to understand why this Tarkana exists. Chazal didn't make Tarkanas for nothing, so we have to understand why it is. It could be that maybe it's because of Tztaka, that maybe Chazal wanted to make it more possible for Halvos to happen. Maybe that's the context of our Gemara. They wanted to make it easier for there to be the possibility of Halvos. Maybe the Gemara in Chulin is talking about for the purposes of Staka. They wanted to make Staka more readily available. It's not so obvious in the context of Ava Basra, in the Yerusha context, why there was a need for it. Maybe that's to strengthen the principle of Sheiris Yisrael Yasu Avla. It's not 100% clear, but one way or another, it's possible that this is a Takanat Rabbanan, and that's how it happens. So all of this is quite interesting, and there's still a need to figure out how this Kenyan takes place. Even if all these factors are true, still, what exactly is it that transfers him? If you say that it's a Din Drabanan, so maybe that's what makes the Kenyan. But without that, then we still need to explain how exactly it is that the property is transferred. The Ksos HaChoshen discusses this in a few places. One possibility is the Meshech Chachma, in his comments to this week's Parsha, to Parsha's Korach, understands that maybe all of the Matnas Kahuna were already transferred to Aaron HaKohen from the very beginning, and they all go to the Shevet HaKohuna through Yerusha from Aaron. So they're all already in the possession of the whole Shevet. So what Rashi is talking about them being Mesiach Das, so when they realize that nobody else has a shot, so then they all drop out. And then Memela, it's all left in the possession of the only Kohen who's left. And therefore, maybe you could understand how it could work that even Ketanim, or even a Cherishot or Cotton, could end up in possession of the Matnas Kahuna, because you don't need an actual process of Kenyan, because it was already the property of the Shevet HaKohuna. And then when you have this process of Makari Kahuna, so then those others who aren't included in that relationship are eliminated, and then it's left just with those who are singled out in that particular relationship. So maybe that's a possibility. There are those who suggest that maybe we don't have to say that it's a machlokas here, but maybe some of the positions are necessary to work together. There's a suggestion along these lines in the Sefer Dvar Avram, in the very first piece, in Chelek Aleph, in Siman Aleph, where he suggests that really you need them together, that maybe you have to account both for the Kenyan process and also for how you deal with the fact of the rights of the other Kohanim. So the Hesech Hadas is what accounts for the rights of the other Kohanim, and the Matan Mu'etas part is what deals with the Kenyan. And it's really a very interesting part to focus on, because even though there is still the possibility of Chazara, even though the one who is supposed to give this Matana still could decide to change his mind, and that changing would still be a reality, nonetheless, the weight of Sheir Yisrael Yasu Avla still has enough of an impact that the Smichas Das that creates means that there is still somewhat of a kinyan, and there is somewhat of a reality that emerges from there, and that the recipient, or the potential recipient, can actually rely on that, and that there is a halachic consequence to that, which is itself a fascinating idea. There's a similar idea in the Tshuvas Avnei Nezer and Choshen Mishpat and Simu Mem Tes. He has an idea as well that seems to combine these ideas, maybe the three ideas that we found in the Rishonim, that maybe you have Rashi's idea of the Hesach Hadas separating out the rites of all the other Kohanim, and Tosis's idea, which creates the connection between the Yisrael and the Kohen in terms of the transfer, and that's what makes the Kinyan, and that's what the Rashbam is talking about, that through this there actually is the transfer from one to the other, and that's how it actually happens. So once you have this din of Makari Kahuna taking place, so it could be that in addition to what the Gemara talks about, maybe there might be a few other nafkaminas. For example, there is a discussion that Gemara has in Chulin and Daf Kuflamin Amid Beis about Tamazik Matnas Kahuna. Is somebody who eats the matnas kahuna. So normally the Gemara says pater milashalim, and it's a question in the Gemara, why are you pater milashalim? And one possibility the Gemara has is that it's mamon shein lo tovim, that there's no single kohen who's able to declare himself as the person who could be the toveya, who can identify himself as the person who has a claim. So there's a discussion here, a discussion over there in Tosfos, about how exactly to understand that, and it's possible one could say that if there is a status of Makari Kahuna, that maybe you could have a Kohen who could identify himself as the potential recipient, and then maybe indeed there would be a Mamon Sheish L'Tovim, maybe there would be somebody who would have that status. There's discussion about that in the Chidushei Marit El Gazi in Bechoros, that maybe that would be the case. The Tshuva about this in the Tshuva Sateres Moshe, he thought that maybe that wouldn't make a difference even if you have Makari Kahuna, because since it's still possible to be Chozer, so then it doesn't have a irrevocable reality. Maybe that wouldn't necessarily make a difference. The tshuva about the Sosim on the Echiezer, Reb Chaim Ozer has a tshuva about this, and he writes that this is going to be itself a discussion, whether we say that Makari Kahuna is an actual Kinyan or not, and that's going to affect this question of whether it should change the din of Mazik Matnas Kahuna, whether there should be a chiyuv or not, and whether Makari Kahuna should make a difference. It's also going to affect the question of whether Makari Kahuna should apply to a Dover Shalom Bala Olam. Do we say that it only applies to produce that already exists, or could apply to future produce as well? It's also a discussion in Tshuvas Kochav Miyakov, and that also could depend on what exactly is the Mechayev, what exactly is the factor that creates this obligation of Makari Kahuna. It's also a question of the Gemara Maseches Nedarim, and Daf Nentes Amud Aleph tells us that Truma that's already reached the hands of the Kohen is not subject to Sheila. Normally it's possible to be Sheol of Truma. Once somebody has been Mafrish Truma, it's possible to undo it, but that's not true anymore once it's reached the hands of the Kohen. And it's a Machlokas Rishonim why that is, the discussion of the Rush over there and the Blazer Mimitz as to why that is, and those reasonings would be affected also by the reasonings for Makari Kahuna. So if you have Truma that's been separated and there is a Makari Kahuna relationship, so would we say that it's no longer possible to have She'ela? So that would also be dependent on how you understand the din of Makari Kahuna. It's also an important practical question whether we could extend this to other situations, most notably the question of Staka. So is there a din of Makari Kahuna when it comes to tzedakah? So if somebody has a ongoing relationship with a certain ani, so should we say that there is a din of makari aniim, and one should have an obligation to continue to give tzedakah to that specific ani? So it sounds like from the Yerushalmi in this parak, the third parak of Gittin, in Parak Yom Halacha Zayin, it says that there's a Yerushalmi, which sounds like there isn't, as the phrase there, Vayesh Mechel, Vayesh Makar La'ani, and the Pnei Moshe understands that as a lashon of Bitmiya, that when it comes to an Ani, so there is no such concept as makaro, makiro, as he has it there, or ohavo, that there is no such notion, that rather l'chol ani, she is dame nosimlo, that any ani that shows up, you're going to have to give to. So it sounds like he's saying that there is no such notion of makari aniyim, while others understand differently. It sounds like from the Shach that there may be such a notion. The Maharshag, Rav Shimon Greenfeld, has a few tshuvas about this, where he sounds like in general there isn't such a din, but maybe it would apply only specifically to funds that have already been separated. There was a whole back and forth about this in the tshuvas of Yehuda Miller, and also in the tshuvas Beis Shlomo, there was a whole discussion back and forth about a kolel that separated and the donors to the kolels, the tshuva, the minchas elazar. There was an extensive literature, has a lot of practical ramifications if there was an ongoing relationship that certain donors had, and maybe if circumstances changed. So what should be the case? There could be big money at stake, and there could be some significant ramifications how exactly to understand this. So this has been an issue, as one could imagine. It has some significant practical ramifications. Rav Moshe Sternbach has a few tshuvas about this, where he assumes that Mekar HaDin, there probably isn't a actual concept of Makar Yanim, but he thought that at least when dealing with smaller donations, one presumably should stick with it, perhaps because of the direct relevance of the concept of Matan Mu'atas. But maybe if there is a bigger type of donation, so then it wouldn't necessarily apply, but certainly one should not casually discontinue a relationship because of the possible relevance of this idea. These concepts are very fascinating, and there is quite an extensive literature that it may also come up in a few other contexts. For example, in the Tshuva Sarashpa and Chela Gimel and Simin Pei Gimel, he discusses that maybe in an employment context, when it comes to a poel, if somebody is in the habit of employing someone, so then he may have some kind of a responsibility to continue employing him for future jobs that come up. Maybe that has some kind of a connection to this Makare concept. There's also a discussion about whether, when it comes to Pidgin HaBen, is there a concept of Makare Kahuna? It's not going to be likely that a person has many different Bechorim that he's going to have to continuously redeem with the same Kohen, but it could be that he may have established a Makare Kohen relationship from other Matanos. Or it could be that maybe there's an obligation if he just has that one Bechor, but he indicated that he was going to use this Kohen for the pigeon, so maybe that creates a obligation to continue with this. That's a discussion in the Tshuvas Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer. So that's a question, whether this concept extends to that. So there is quite a fascinating literature. There's a lot to say about this. If one wants to see a particularly fascinating tshuva of Rav Nosson Gestetner applying some of the basic logic of the Rishonim in the sugi of Makari Kahuna to the concept of Kiddushin in a fascinating way, feel free to look at the Tshuvas L'Horus Nosson in Chelek Hay in Simen Pei Vav, a very fascinating application we won't go into right now. But just to sum up, a very fascinating concept, this whole notion of Makari Kahuna, the question of what exactly it means to have a unusual kesher between a Yisrael and a Kohen, a Yisrael and a Levi for its purposes, maybe a Yisrael and a, or anybody, and an Ani, and whether it's based on this concept of everyone else giving up hope, like Rashi suggests, whether it's based on this notion of Matan Mu'etes, that the Tosfos points to the Gemara in Bav Metzia, which is rooted in the concept of Sheiris Yisrael Lo Yasa Avla itself, a particularly fascinating idea that even if there isn't an actual Kenyan, and even if theoretically it is reversible, but still the idea that the basic expectation of integrity that is so strong that the recipient, or that the intended recipient, can rely on it, and that creates a reality, that expectation creates reality itself, a very fascinating idea, and a notion that all of these concepts may themselves create some kind of a kinyan, or perhaps the possibility that there is a din d'rabbanan, connected to this, which itself is something fascinating to explore, the idea that Chazal would have found some reason to concretize these concepts and to create takanas based on this, whether it's for the purposes of tzedaka or for the purposes of making halvas available to those who need them, or perhaps to give even greater weight to the idea of Sheiris Yisrael Loyasu Avlo, all of these fascinating concepts to ponder and much to consider for the future, relevant both to the daf and to Parshas Korach. All right, everyone should have a wonderful week.